You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to another episode of How To 20-Something. This week, I brought on another special guest to share her expertise and personal experiences about how to cater your nutrition to your gym performance so they work together to help you get the body you want. Over the course of this episode, we are going to dive into calorie deficits and surpluses, how the amount you're eating impacts the way you should show up in the gym, and best practices to keeping your body and mind healthy in regards to all of these changes. This is an extremely sought-out topic that everyone on a health and physique journey needs to hear, which is why I'm bringing on someone who has mastered these exact things with her own regimen and trains clients on how they can be successful too. So, without further ado, allow me to introduce who you'll be listening to today. Erin is a certified personal trainer, nutrition coach, and self-proclaimed dancing queen. She holds 2 nutrition certifications and many specialties in exercise like functional movements, biomechanics, and pre- and postnatal. While Erin grew up in the gym and playing sports, she originally received her bachelor's from Clemson University in Spanish and International Trade, then a master's in finance from the University of Glasgow in Scotland. After years unhappy in the professional 9-to-5 atmosphere, Erin started training part-time in 2018 in Charleston, South Carolina, then quickly took the leap to full-time after moving to Charlotte in 2019. She focuses on weightlifting and bodybuilding styles with an emphasis on functional and mobility. Her goal is to be the most badass grandma you ever saw and help others to live their life free of pain and limitations. Hi, Erin. Welcome to How To 20-Something.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. And I love that you included self-proclaimed dancing queen in the bio that you sent, because for those of you listening who don't know Erin, we work out of the same gym, and I can vouch that she does have some killer dance moves. But aside from dancing everywhere, you and I have a similar story where we both found a passion in health and fitness and also realized the 9-to-5 desk job wasn't for us and made this transition. So before we dive into all of your knowledge and expertise and experiences, I would just love to know how you set yourself up to make this transition to the self-employed world.
That was a scary time. I think you understand that you're used to just that steady income and reliability of it. And while you might not love it, there's something to be said about knowing you're going to get paid every 2 weeks and how much you're going to get paid every 2 weeks. But it just wasn't something that I was happy with. Like, I was training part-time and it was easier to wake up to train clients at 4:30 a.m. than it was to wake up at 8:30 a.m. to go to my corporate job. So first, I just started to make a name for myself. I wanted to get my name out there so I could feel a little bit comfortable that once I did make the leap, I would have clients and somewhat of an income. But at the end of the day, I just kind of had to get out of my own way. I was in my head a lot that I was like, "This, what if this doesn't work? Then what am I going to do after that? Do I like come crawling back to this job?" And I would remember talking to my friend from Charleston. I've known her since I was like 5 years old. And I was like, "I think I should just do it." And she was like, "Erin, I think you should just do it. You've been talking about this for years now. You need to just do it. Otherwise, you're always going to think, what if?" And that was just kind of the moment where I was just like, okay, I'm going to dive in. And I put in my 2 weeks notice and I was just like, all right, we're going all in. Started posting on Instagram all the time that I had more availability for clients. And we just went for it.
Yeah, and it's paying off. You didn't have to crawl back to your 9-to-5.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I feel that. Because I always tell people, I was like, you're never going to regret going after it and knowing that you do have the option to go back. Like, that is the fail-safe of you have a degree, you have experience in the working world with that degree. Like, push comes to shove, if the worst thing is going back, but at least you know you tried to get out and, like, you you did give it your best. And it doesn't mean like you're going to have to be back in the 9-to-5 for forever. But I know you're successful. So that's, I don't foresee that happening for you because of how great of a trainer and coach you are. But you've been a trainer for 6 years. And I'm sure that you've come across multiple different types of bodies and people. So we're going to just dive into all the questions I have for you for my listeners to also gain valuable information from. But what are the common staples you help each client get started on, both when it comes to their fitness regimen and their nutrition? So you can separate it, you can say how they work hand in hand, but what are like the foundational principles that you're like, you need this in order for XYZ to happen?
I mean, rule number one is going to be consistency. That is the end all be all for both fitness and nutrition. Even if you're only working out once a week, if you're consistently working out once a week, that is going to be helpful for you. For nutrition, it's just trying to figure out what you're eating consistently and then if that's good for you or not. So for nutrition, it's obviously trying to go into tracking, whether it's with a calculator like MyFitnessPal or it just writing it on a piece of paper and taking a look at it. But what are you eating? How much are you eating? Do you realize all the snacks you might be running into and eating, especially during the holidays when there's so many like candy bowls and cookie trays out? And then once their consistency is down, that's where it's just finding out what's going to work best for the client. So like what diet, what fitness workout, and what are they willing to do at that point too? Because if you're not willing to do something for the rest of your life, there's no way that it's worth doing it for 6 weeks, getting a quick fix, and then either gaining all the weight back or losing all your progress or something to that effect. So getting your consistency in and finding what works for you, whether that's the keto diet, the vegan diet, the carnivore diet, and then whether you like boot camp classes or maybe you're a power lifter and you love those, but what can you do consistently and do that for as long as you can?
Yeah, consistency is the second pillar in my Own Your Life transformational system. So I agree, is you need that consistency. But I like how you worded it of what are they consistently doing right now? So you're meeting them where they're at. And then it's like, what can we start to incorporate consistently to start moving that needle forward? One of my certifications talked about war. Are they ready for war? And it's, are they willing, able, and ready? And it's true. It's you need to be willing and open to trying some new things because you're hiring your nutrition coach, or your personal trainer for a reason. It's because things you've been doing up until this point haven't been working consistently. So we're here to help you bridge that gap. And even if it is going on a keto diet and you fall in love with that and it's not just to lose weight and then go right back to what you're doing, it's you want to be on keto for the rest of your life if that's what makes you feel great, not with that overarching of like, this is temporary, this is for 6 weeks, this is Whole30, like any of those types of fads. It's what are you learning and how can you incorporate that for the rest of forever?
Exactly. And it's not something that you have to jump into this big transition like you were taking only 2K steps a day, you're a couch potato, and then trying to suddenly hit 10,000 steps a day. Like, that's not something we have to immediately jump into, but it's working into these good habits of slowly increasing our steps. Maybe we need to get more water in slowly. Maybe we do need to just get more sleep. It's these small pillars that's going to build that pyramid that will make you feel better and about yourself mentally and physically.
Yeah, and even if I have clients right now where it's like, okay, you're barely walking, just park further away from everything, every door, and it's going
to
add up.
Take the stairs.
Yeah, I tell them they live in it's a husband and wife, they live in a two-story house. I was like, use the bathroom upstairs when you're home, every time. Just go upstairs and use that bathroom. And it's like very little but integrated into your current lifestyle because that's our job is to, like I said, meet you where you're at and take you forward.
And I do the same thing. Like, I try to park as far away as possible. And I'll be honest, that started because when I first started to drive, I was scared of parking too close to people. But now it's a habit that I park the farthest away from my destination just because. And then same thing with stairs and elevators. I hate elevators. So for me, it's easy to be like, I'm going to take this 3 flight of stairs just because it personally makes me feel better. But at the same time, I think even if it wasn't an option, I'd be like, where are the stairs in this place? Like, why do we have to take the elevator?
I live on the third floor of my apartment and my elevator is painfully slow that I'll hit the button if it's the end of a really long day, I'll hit that button to take me up. And if I hear that it's like on that fourth floor and it has to make its way, I'm like, I'm taking the stairs. I don't even care. I just want to be home.
You'll meet it.
But okay, so setting up your foundational principles is looking at those big boulders. Like you mentioned sleep. What are you doing? Like getting those steps in, drinking some more water. Once those things are in place, once you have that routine that is you're progressively moving them forward with, the way I like to coach is we have those solid things in place, that solid foundation, and then we can move into manipulating things. So manipulate your macros, your calories, the workouts, and everything that can work in your favor to change that body composition. But I also think it's hard to give a general progression because everyone is so different with their history or how their body reacts and adapts and their consistency and compliance. But can you explain how you would progress a client into, say, this next phase of nutrition once they've developed this consistency?
Yeah, and that's just going to depend on their goals. Like, what are they trying to do? I've had clients who want to lose body fat. I've had clients who want to put on muscle. So that is where it determines what that client wants. I've had clients who don't care about how they look. They just want to be able to lift heavy things. And so that's where it becomes very client focused. If we start with like a fat loss calorie deficit, because I feel like most people like that, then that is where we're going to make sure they stay consistent in their workouts, because that is most important, and slowly decreasing their calories so we can start to see some results. So for any of this, we're going to want measurements or pictures or an in-body scan or just something to make sure we are tracking the progress so we can see if it's still working or not. But it's as simple as lowering the calories, making sure their protein stays high, and that's about 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, and then letting them kind of have a free-for-all for carbs and fats. There is a ton of science about whether carbs are better, fats are better. I found as long as my clients are hitting their calorie goals and their protein goal, if they're doing more carbs or more fats, it really just doesn't matter. So I let them choose that and let them figure that out and what's ever working for their lifestyle. But then that's where we're looking at measurements and pictures or whatever it is on a weekly or bi-weekly basis so we can make sure they're still making progress. So that we're trying to slowly edge them into this by keeping their water up, making sure they're still sleeping enough, still getting as many steps as I did before this calorie deficit, and just trying to stay, again, consistent. We're going to preach about consistency so much this episode, but that is what it takes. Like, I think if I look at my FitnessPal, I've been tracking for 279 days. And that some people might say that's aggressive, but I have goals right now that I'm trying to hit. So I need to stay consistent with what I'm doing. But for a calorie deficit, really, it's just as easy as lowering those calories and seeing how their body responds to it. Some people are going to respond really well and might see a very quick weight loss, fat loss. Some people might not respond as well. So then you have to determine if you want to lower those calories even more, or maybe we need to back off and like give their body a little bit more time to recover or figure itself out before we go into this deficit.
Yeah, and I will say that based off of the last thing you just said, of giving your body more time. If you are a chronic dieter and a lot of people fall into this, they're at their maintenance. They don't know what their maintenance is, but they reach that point of, I want to lose weight or I want to lose fat. And they just start cutting, or they start tracking and they start like just cutting out meals or cutting out food groups and just removing things. And sometimes your body will respond negatively to that because you've already had it in this stress state for so long. And what happens is you're at your maintenance, you go into a cut, and then you're in that cut for too long because you're doing this without direction, and that becomes your new maintenance. And then you go into a cut again, and you get to a point where there's nothing else to cut from. Like you need to go into that reverse, which we're going to talk about throughout this episode of what that looks like, because I say you can't have one without the other. It is a cycle. And you've been tracking for a long time. I hate tracking. I'm like, it's another stress in your life. It is, because it's something you have to pay a lot of attention to. You have to weigh and measure everything that you're going to eat. You do get to a point of if you eat the same things, it makes it a lot easier. But with my clients, is if you're not even hitting your protein goals, we're not even looking at calories. Like, if you're not at that protein or above, like 1 gram per 1 pound, as Aaron was saying, because that is the measurement, if you were ever curious how much protein you should eat, is it, you need that consistency. You need to be hitting that. That is the most important macro, especially if you want to keep the muscle that's on your body and lose the fat that you don't want on your body. But in regards, I'll let you explain, but I do want to add to it. In regards to going into a deficit and going to the gym, can you talk about like gym performance or like changing your rep ranges, changing up your workouts? I'll let you add to everything I just said, but I also want to include the gym performance aspect and your ego and muscle loss and all of that.
All that fun stuff. Okay, so there's been some sayings that it's better to change up your workouts, but a lot of that is because it's much harder to recover from your workouts when you're in your calorie deficit. Your body has less energy. It has less nutrients to do the things that it needs to do. I think people forget that while we might just be sleeping at night, our body is moving and grooving and repairing cells and transporting things around, and it needs enough energy to do that. But it's not just about the food and how much you're eating of it. It's also about how much sleep you're getting, how much water you are getting, if you're just constantly stressed or not. If you have a super high stressful job, then going into a calorie deficit honestly might not be the best thing for you, because your body's going to respond negatively to that. It's going to start freaking out into this fight or flight mode of like, oh my gosh, I need to preserve all this fat because I think we're about to go to war or famine or something. Like, our bodies are still stuck 1,000 years ago because, in theory, I mean, the amount of food we have available readily has only been this available for like the past 100 years, if that. So we need to give our bodies time to adapt and evolve. But in terms of workouts, it's really going to come down to that recovery. If you have less energy, it is harder to lift as heavy. But if you're doing this right, eating just enough protein, still eating just enough that your body has energy, you're sleeping enough, you're getting all that water in, then you might not have to change your workouts. They might be fine for you to continue as is. But that's something that your coach or you, if you're doing it on your own, should pay attention to and see what's happening. If you suddenly can't lift nearly as heavy, you're like, before you were doing like a shoulder press for 12 reps at 40 pounds in each hand, and then now you're barely getting the 30s up, okay, we're gonna want to change something around. Something has gone wrong. Maybe we need more food, maybe we need more sleep, something has happened, and maybe it is just we need to have a little bit less volume overall in our workouts. But that's just, it's going to depend on how your body's responding. I went through a calorie deficit and I was able to keep most of my workouts completely the same. And there were a few days where I was like, wow, I am a little bit lower on energy, but it was not something that it was consistently a problem. I was still able to either lift the same weights or make progressions in my weight. So as always with anything in fitness and nutrition, it's going to depend. How are you responding and what else are you doing?
Yeah, individual variants and everything. And I've talked so much about how our bodies are still in caveman times and we need to treat it that way. Like, we live in a modern day world with an outdated system, and that's hard. That's a hard thing to grasp.
We're like running Windows 7 right now, and we need to be on like Windows 14.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how your computer updates is, our system is a little lagging. But I think there's pros and cons to both, of changing your workouts up, like going with lighter weight, higher rep ranges, or keeping them the same. Because if you keep them the same, you have a measuring point of, if you're dropping strength rapidly, then you're in too much of a cut. But also from a psychological standpoint, it can be really discouraging to not be lifting the same amount or not increasing every time or almost every time you're hitting that lift. So it really just depends, as you're saying, it's always going to depend. It depends on you and depends on what you want. It depends on what your coach is going to prescribe for you. But it's also helpful to change up your workouts every like 4 to 6 weeks in general, regardless of whether you're in a cut or a deficit. Can you talk about like how long each phase is going to be beneficial versus detrimental, depending on what it is? We can start with deficit, because we're going to do into all of the reverse and bulking and all that.
For a deficit, that's definitely not something you want to be in for a long time, just because your body is all about adapting. If you give it only 1,000 calories a day forever, it is going to figure out how to live off of 1,000 calories a day. and that's not any way to live. So we want to be aware of that as we're in this calorie deficit. I would say the maximum you would want to be in a calorie deficit is 12 weeks. And probably throughout that 12 weeks, you're going to have either a refeed day or a cheat meal, so to speak, to help your body not become too adapted to the lesser amount of calories you are eating. So with that refeed day or a cheat meal, that doesn't mean we're going out to Taco Bell or McDonald's or going to the bars and having a bunch of beers. That means we're still fueling our body with whole foods, lots of protein, vegetables, fruits, all the good carbs and fats, but we're just having more of it than we have had. For most of my clients, I keep them in a calorie deficit for 4 to 8 weeks, depending on how they're responding. For some, they just want to do a quick little deficit. They see some progress and they're like, I want to get out of this because this is just not as fun. They'd rather be at maintenance calories so they can live their life a little bit more. And I think that's completely fair. But max, I would say 8 weeks. And even for workouts, a good way that you can measure how your deficit or even your surplus is going is looking at your workouts and seeing if you're still improving or at least maintaining what you are doing. As soon as you see things dropping off, you're not able to lift as heavy or you're no longer making progressions on those workouts, it's going to be time to maybe switch things up and give your body a different stimulus.
Yeah, and I think on that note is that it's hard to have that type of tracking, that type of progress if you're not strength training on your own. If you don't have a set program that you are following, if you're going to your group fitness classes and that workout is different, Aaron and I are both group fitness trainers as well as one-on-one trainers. So we know, but there's no way to measure that progress and or how it's affecting you because there's no actual consistency from one workout 1 week to the next.
And we're not trying to knock on group fitness. We obviously both think it's great. I think it definitely has its own space here in the fitness like community, but until you are able to see the same movements week after week and month after month, it's going to be really hard to keep making progress year after year. That's what so many people fall in the trap of, is that they go to a group fitness class and they make this excellent progress at first, but that's because they're doing something different than they had before. And then 8 weeks, 12 weeks later, they're not making any progress anymore. And they're like, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing the same thing I was. But you're doing things inconsistently. You're not lifting the same week after week, so you can't progress in weights or anything.
Yeah, I talk about this in what type of exercise should you be doing based off of your goals. So I'm glad that you're reiterating it. I don't remember what episode number that is. It's either the one that came out last week of the time we're the time this comes out, or I think like 2 weeks prior. Who knows? But yes, it's the same message. So I'm glad you're on the same page as me with that one. And knowing that they have their own benefits, which I talk about during that episode. But when it comes to this specific topic that we're talking on, if you are wanting to manipulate your calories to change your body composition, group fitness is not the way to go.
No, and I agree. I think it's great. And I love the community that comes from group fitness. There is always going to be something important about having your friends and the people you meet there and the atmosphere. Like, it is a great atmosphere. You are so pumped up, but it's so much harder to control your intensity, your volume, and all the things that you need to control to see progress.
Okay, so let's say instead of taking a client into a cut after they've been consistent, they've been at their maintenance or a calorie deficit, synonymous words, but you're going to decide to take them into a reverse first. Can you explain to the listeners why you would choose to increase someone's calories or macros after they've been at maintenance for a while and what that looks like?
Yeah, so a reverse diet at the end of it is just increasing your calories slowly, maybe like 50 to 100 a week or biweekly until we have found a new maintenance that we feel comfortable with. Most of the time, I am doing this with clients who have been on that yo-yo dieting sphere that they were at 1,400, then they're at 1,600, then they went down to 1,200. And so we don't even really know what maintenance is. So we're trying to find a new maintenance that allows them to feel good, live their life, and work well in the office and in the gym. So, well, for the reverse diet, I will start them at their maintenance, or if we're not sure what their maintenance is, then we're going to try to figure that one out first. But then we are just slowly increasing those calories, until we can find a new maintenance, or until they're just like, I can't eat this much in a day. And I'm like, fair enough, that's a lot of food. But it's one of those things that it's going to depend on the client of where they want to end at. Like, I have one client who we are slowly coming into 2,000 calories, and she's like, it is hard to get 2,000 calories in a day. And I'm like, all right, then let's stay here. Let's make sure this is our body's new maintenance, because now if we want to cut, we only have to cut down to 1,600, if that, maybe even 1,700. We can save ourselves from you only intaking 1,200 calories a day because your maintenance was so low before. So the benefit of that reverse diet really is just raising your calories so your body, like we said, can adapt to it and work efficiently with that many calories and not store it all as fat. I think that's probably the most important part of that, is because we are slowly increasing it so much that your body can figure out how to use those calories efficiently and not just be like, oh my God, we have this huge surplus of food. What do we do with this? Oh, we'll just save it for a rainy day and like pack it onto our hips or thighs or something. When we slowly increase it, that 50 to 100, then our body's like, ooh, we have a little bit extra to work with today. What shall we do? Maybe we make her hair grow. Maybe we make their nails grow. And it finds way to use this fuel that we have given it. But one of the biggest benefits of doing this kind of reverse is so we can build more muscle. We are giving our body more energy so it can do all those things that it previously wasn't, whether you're in a deficit or even maintenance, where it's like, okay, we have just enough, we're going to chill here and everything's going to be fine. But with that reverse, we're able to focus on some strength, focus on the muscle, and maybe even from there go into a surplus and really have some fun with building muscle and strength. But I think for the refeed, in terms of how long you're going to do it, it's just kind of going to depend. Again, it's how is your body responding? If we go up in 100 calories and you pack on like 3, 5, 7 pounds, then it might be something to be like, okay, maybe we back off and only do 50 calories and we stay with 50 extra calories for a little bit longer. Maybe we do 3 weeks here so our body can figure out what to do with it. And then we'll add the other 50 again.
Yeah. And I tell clients, I'm like, look, we have the same goal. Neither of us want you to put on more fat, but eating more food, eating the right food, is, as well as strength training, is going to help put on that muscle, which will make the cut so much easier and healthier. Because I have one of my clients, she came to me at 800 calories, and just getting her to, so the reason why I'm bringing this up is because just getting her to eat her weight and protein has been a struggle just the last 2 months alone. It's really hard. And she says she's not hungry because she has trained her body to not need that extra food. So when you were saying of getting to a place of, whoa, this is a lot of food, I can't eat anymore, what would you say to that type of client where they're already not eating enough, but their metabolism has adapted to that low amount? So it's, I mean, I recommend shakes, but what would be, in terms of the psychological aspect of, no, this still isn't a lot of food, like we need more, what would you say?
Trying to get in just into that higher calorie food and working with them. So maybe they can't eat, we'll say 150 grams of protein a day. That's fair. That's kind of a lot. All right. Can you get to 100 grams of protein a day? Let's work on that. And once you're doing that consistently, then we're going to aim for 120, and then we'll aim for 135. And then maybe we'll get you to that 150. But for any of these clients in this situation, it's going to be, we're playing the long game. We are in it to win it, but it might take years, it might take months, but you have to be willing to trust this process and trust me that I want your best interests at heart as well. Like I want you to eat more and I want you to feel good about yourself, and I don't want this to be some huge stressor to add onto your life. So trying to slowly increase those calories, slowly increase the protein, and getting into the higher calorie food. So let's get some avocado in there. Let's get some peanut butter and any other nut in there. Do you use olive oil when you're cooking? No, throw some olive oil onto that pan. And trying to sneak in some more calories that way. Your shakes thing is also a great idea because you could also hide some more food in there as well. And I've always found that liquids are a little bit easier to get down than like trying to stuff more food into your face. So turning it into a smoothie, adding a banana, some peanut butter, some cacao, maybe some chocolate chips if we're feeling crazy, and slowly increasing your food volume that way.
Yeah, and I tell people shakes and protein powders and all that, that's a tool. But if you are in that place where it's either you're not going to eat at all or you're going to have a shake, I'm going to want you to have that shake. But we're trying to get you to a point where you are hitting your protein through whole foods, where you don't need the shake to reach your calories or your protein goals. You're able to build up that metabolism to get there. When it comes to gym performance, can you talk about, you can even bring in your own experience, because I know you have some, Erin is really strong, so I would love for her to talk about her strength. But what happens to the body as you go into a reverse and even into a surplus?
Wonderful, wonderful things happen to the body. In most cases, and in mine personally, I was hitting personal records every single week on pretty much every single exercise I was doing. So a nice example is that for my back squats, for my 3-rep max, my week one, we started my surplus, it was 165. Then week 8, I was at 190. And I still think I maybe could have pushed it for a little bit more. But it's something that just week after week, I was feeling so good. I felt like I was holding my own self back because, well, it's just heavy. So I was like, I've never really done this before. Like, am I going to really like just squat this? Like, but it was me getting in my head and almost holding myself back because it was just like, is this, I feel good though? So I guess I just need to go for it. And that is just kind of the magic of the surplus, of the reverse diet, of you have the energy, you feel great. And again, you should be making sure you're sleeping enough and doing all those other things that are important to feeling good and recovering. But with that extra food is going to come with extra energy, which is going to make your performance in the gym better, no matter what sort of program you are doing.
Yeah. And I think that one of the challenging parts of going into a reverse and adding in a lot more food is the mind games that go on. Can you talk about just anything that you've noticed in terms of your mental strength or the way you view your body, even like positive things of focusing more on the strength versus like on your thighs getting a little bigger and like putting on more muscle, just anything that's going on mentally? Because as females, our little brain critters go through different cycles. So we can wake up one day and feel awful about ourselves and not look any different. But I would love to know what you've personally been going through as you've gone through these different phases.
Yeah, so being in the surplus, it definitely has, it can be a big back and forth. I feel strong about my body. I feel great mentally and physically, but I also sometimes look in the mirror and I'm like, where are my abs? Like, why are my thighs so big? And that's where it is a battle you kind of have to take with yourself and tell your brain to shut up. It was, I think a couple weeks ago, I was just feeling so horrible about myself. I was like, man, this is just a really hard process of me trying to add this strength. I'm just feeling fluffy. I'm feeling bloated. And so then I washed my hair and I got a spray tan and then had a really good workout and it made me feel a lot better. So it's finding other things that can make you feel good about yourself. So maybe you're in this surplus and you can tell like you've added a little bit of weight. That is kind of the goal of a surplus. Go get your nails done. Go buy a cute outfit. Make sure your clothes are fitting whatever cycle of life you are in. Like your deficit clothes are not going to fit your surplus body. And that's just kind of the way it is. So don't be freaking out because the jeans you wore when you were 10 pounds lighter aren't fitting the same, because that's just impossible. They're not going to. And fighting that battle with yourself when it's, I feel like it's almost easier when you're in the deficit because you're just like, oh, I'm leaner. I am tight right now. Like I am looking good. You like want to show your body off. And then like, it's much harder mentally to be in a surplus, in my opinion, because you do have that those body changes that are seen as negative now. But it's staying true to yourself, being grateful for whatever season of life you're in, maybe having some affirmations, and having a support system that is there for you to help you realize when you're just getting into your own head. Like that's where my fiance Matt comes in huge handy. I'll be like, Matt, I'm just looking really rough today. And he's like, do you see yourself right now? What are you talking about? And find a best friend, find a coach, find somebody who can be that voice of reason for you.
I think it's hard because that's a big fear for a lot of females. I mean, I would even say some males too, is putting on that weight, especially if they've lost that weight in some other way with, like, on their own. And knowing that, like, this does come with it, with that body recomp, like, you have to put on in order to take off, because, as I said, like, you're going to get to a point where you can't take anything else away and your body is super stressed out. So how do you talk through someone of, like, hey, this is healthy weight. Like, we want this weight on. We're going to make sure it's slowly increasing and it's not all fat, and understanding that this is part of the process to get you to that same end goal of feeling confident in the way you look.
And that's where your check-in photos, your measurements, your in-body scans are probably going to be the most helpful, because looking at the numbers, that's where you should see that your muscle mass has gone up by like 3% and your fat's gone up by like 0.5. Like, or in the photos, it's like, oh, do you still, you see all this definition that is coming in? Like, that is what we're going to be able to chip away at later. And most of the time I found for clients, it's all in their head. We see ourselves and we're like at a funhouse mirror where we are suddenly expanded 10 times, when it's just like, no, if we take this photo from the end of your deficit and compare it to right now, there's not that many differences. So that is the biggest benefit of making sure you're taking some sort of progress photos, measurements, scans, because you need to have that comparison for when you get into your own head, because you will. And that those factual numbers will help you.
Yeah, you need something objective rather than your own subjective mind.
Yes.
So let's say someone has been in a reverse for a decent amount of time. We're not going to put a timeline on it. What are some clear indicators that someone is ready to now cut after they've gone through their reverse?
First thing I would say, season of life. Like, going into a cut, we want to make sure we're set up for success. Like, I would never say to my client, all right, it's Christmas time, let's go into a cut right now, because most likely they're not going to be able to abide by the rules that we need to during a cut. So let's look at your schedule. Are you in a season of life where you can handle this additional stress on your body? Do you have birthday parties, weddings, rehearsal dinners, and everything else for the next 4 weekends? Then let's maybe not go into a cut, because unless you are super disciplined, it's going to be very hard to stay on top of the things you need to do. But that would be the first thing, is just figuring out their season of life and if they are, I think you said it, the war, they're willing, able, and ready. Are they? And then how are they feeling mentally and physically about themselves? If they are just struggling to be consistent in the gym, to be consistent with their food, to do anything, it might be better to just stay in a maintenance phase and make sure we are set up well for that deficit, because that's great. That's the best thing about the maintenance phase, is that you can stay there forever. So are we able to cut and see the progress we want to make and do the things we need to do? Because with that cut is going to become maintaining all the steps you normally get, maintaining 7 to 8 hours of sleep, maintaining 130 ounces of water. Are these things able to still happen while we go into this deficit?
So we talked about how we would go into a surplus of, like, adding 50 to 100 calories, to seeing how your body responds. Can you talk about how that relates to going from maintenance or going from that surplus into a cut?
Yeah, so normally if you're going into a cut, you're going to go a little bit more aggressive. I would say 300 to 500 calories, depending on where you're at and what you're doing. I normally start conservative with my clients at around 300 calories. So if they are eating 2,000, we're going to take you down to 1,700. Because if you are able to make huge progress at 1,700, why would I take you down to 1,500? Yeah, it might be a little bit faster in terms of seeing results, but are you going to be happy with eating 200 less calories? That's a lot when you're only eating 1,500 in a day. So it comes down to just trying to find what's going to work for their life and their body, and paying attention to the body signals and what the client is saying as we go into that cut. If they are starting to really just, like, fade out, they're sleeping bad, they're having weird dreams, maybe their, like, blood sugar levels are all over the place, they're not strong in the gym at all, I'm going to want to raise your calories back up to make sure we are taking care of your body and mind before we hit those composition goals.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that, because that comes first. We want your longevity. We want sustainability. We want you to be a healthy person. You're not competing on stage in a bodybuilding show. I mean, if you are, I'm going to be bringing on bodybuilder experts to talk about that. So you can have that opportunity. But this is more so of you want to shed some fat. You want to have some muscle that shows off. You want to look like you work out. And that overall comes with a good piece of health and consistent health. And if we see that those markers are falling, we're going to want to reverse you out of that because clearly it went too far. Like I would even say it's not even just having 200 calories less, but that might not even mean you have faster results. Your body could freak out at the 200 calorie less mark. So it's knowing, finding your sweet spot of where you're seeing the results and staying there and knowing that pushing it isn't going to get you more results.
Because the body will do that. If you get too low in calories, we're going to activate that fight or flight. And oh my God, I need to hold on to everything as much as possible. The same thing can happen if you don't drink enough water. If you don't drink enough water, your body will hold on to every single drop it can. And then you're like, why am I so bloated? Why am I so inflamed? Oh, honey, drink a gallon of water and you're going to look probably 5 pounds lighter immediately.
Yeah, it sounds so counterintuitive. I'm like, no, it's more like I just started taking creatine again and that's water weight. I'll be talking about supplements in a whole other episode, but it's water that goes into your muscles. So it's like, yeah, you're going to put on some weight, but you're going to look fuller. You're going to not in a bad way full, not like a puffy way, but.
And it's going to be like 1-2 pounds at that.
Yeah.
And I think that brings up a good point for women. Like our cycles are very much going to make our weight go up and down. Like if you are in your luteal phase, you're about to get your period or you're on your period, yes, your scale is going to be higher. And that's not because you suddenly gained 5 pounds of fat, but you are holding on to some water and that is, you're holding on to sodium and all those things that you just kind of have to remember and think about as you're trying to go through this fat loss phase. Because I guarantee you after your period, you're going to drop in that scale again, probably even more than what you were before, and you'll look better and you'll feel better. But the scale is not the end all be all. So if you're only using a scale to track, we need to find another way.
Yeah. Honestly, I tell a lot of people, put the scale in the closet. We're not focusing on your weight right now. We're focusing on everything else, your quality of life, your like how you're actually feeling, getting you in your body. Because if you step on the scale and it ruins your day, you have a horrible relationship to the scale.
It is not worth it to your mental health. And that is, you say it all the time, like mental health is going to be the most important part of this. No matter what part of life you're in, whether we want to do a deficit, we're in maintenance, we're in a surplus, if your mental health is not good, none of it is going to be good.
Yeah, it's what drives your decisions. I'll also tell people, don't weigh yourself, don't measure yourself, don't take pictures until after your period is over. Like use that week when you're also mentally the strongest to handle any fluctuations that may have happened that you don't particularly like. Like if you are in a reverse, it's, you're just like, okay, but this is here. Like I have a clearer brain. I'm not as emotional about this. And you can take it from like a step back standpoint rather than when you are hyped up on all your hormones and all your emotions.
Or only compare like the monthly statistics. So like say you do measurements or pictures weekly, if only compare your period week to your period week.
Yes.
Like that is going to be a huge thing that will make a difference, because if say you're in a deficit, I guarantee you, you're probably still making progress from that month to month. But if you compare your period week to the week after, it's not going to be the same as like period to period.
Yeah. And the episode that comes out after yours is the truth behind training with your cycle. So I kind of go into different factors with that. But I love that we're bringing it up here because it does play a factor as to whether you're like when you're in a deficit, that's another factor to consider. Like if you're losing your period, you're in too much of a deficit. If you've completely lost it, you're doing too much and you need to allow your body to kind of get back to its normal functioning ground of that maintenance, that safe place before you make any more moves, whether it's in that reverse or back into a deficit.
That's actually just what my last nutrition certification focused on, was how much the hormones were going to control what was happening in your body. If they are completely out of whack, it doesn't matter what you're doing workout wise, recovery wise, like your body's not going to respond the way it needs to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I would love to get your opinion on calories in versus calories out, and how you use that to help your clients see the results they want. Because I try to explain that it's not that simple, because a lot of people do it improperly, as we were talking about, of like they'll go maintenance, they'll cut maintenance, and then that becomes their maintenance and cut. And I will also say a majority of the population is guilty of doing that. So when you're going through these reverse and cuts, sometimes it is that simple as calories in versus calories out. What are your thoughts on that whole process?
Don't just listen to MyFitnessPal and what they have told you what your like maintenance calories are. And don't let them add in the workout calories that you burn to your total calories. So your maintenance calories, that is your TDEE, the total daily energy expenditure, your calories out. So that comprises of a lot of things. That is you fidgeting at your desk. That is you working out. That is your food digesting. That is you going for a walk with your dogs, taking the stairs. So a ton of things affect this calories out. So most of the time, it is not going to be the same every single day. When we assign maintenance calories to a client, we are taking basically the average of what they do on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. So the calories in versus the calories out is going to be a little bit harder to determine. Like your calories in is a lot easier to track because it's like, what are you eating? What did you just put into your mouth? What are you drinking? And that's easier to track, in my opinion. But when you're going against the calories out, you have to really look at what your day is, what your life is, and pay attention to those things. If you are a super busy mom Monday through Friday and you do like 1,000 things that have you really at like 2,500 calories a day, but then on the weekends you are a lazy POS, then you're going to not have the same maintenance calories for the entire week. You're going to want to take that average of those 7 days and use that as your maintenance calories. And that's where working with a coach is going to be a lot better than following what MyFitnessPal has told you.
MyFitnessPal is the worst. I mean, they all do. They all give you like these really low ball calories and then tell you to plug in your workout. So I'm glad you said of like, don't do that. And also like, don't even go based off of what the numbers they give. How you should approach that to even get your maintenance is naturally track what you're eating for a week. Don't change anything. Just be like, okay, this is what I usually have. Weigh it. See how much it is, track that information so you get an idea of what it is, because that's a computer and you're a human. And I don't know if you know this, but you're totally different things. And a computer is only going to give you so much. It gives you the information that it knows, but it doesn't take in any bioindividuality or your history or anything that's actually important into consideration.
Yes, like definitely you need to spend at least 3 days is the minimum I'll tell my clients, but a week would be better. If you're only doing 3 days, include a weekend. You can't just give me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday because you're probably perfect Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I want to see what Friday night, Saturday is, and then we can make adjustments and go from there.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what I tell my clients as well. So on the same page. Then the last question I have is in terms of quality of food, because as you start to increase the food, the quality becomes a lot more important. So what role do you feel quality of food plays in each of these different cycles from deficit to maintenance to reverse?
Quality of food is the end all be all. I tell everyone all the time that if you are eating 2,000 calories of Subway, McDonald's, Taco Bell, your body is going to look extremely different than if you're eating 2,000 calories of whole foods, lean protein, vegetables, fruits, complex carbs, and the things that came naturally from the earth. One of my favorite sayings is that if it started and ended on a conveyor belt, don't have it, or you better be limiting it a great deal, because that stuff is not natural. It is not good for you. Your body doesn't know how to process it really at the end of the day. So we want to really harp on that quality of food, especially if you're in a calorie deficit, though. I would say also really important for a surplus, and maintenance, it's always important. But for that deficit, your body is already lower on energy than it probably would prefer. So we need to make sure we're fueling it as well as possible. And this is where sometimes using like meal timing and other factors can help you out with that. But you want to keep your body as happy as possible. And it is happiest when it has whole foods that are from the ground, that are straight from the animal, that really we've been eating for thousands of years already. If it was just made in the last 100, I would be wary about putting it into your body.
I think it's also easier to be on a deficit when you're eating whole foods, because processed foods are extremely palatable. They're designed to make you want to eat the whole bag of potato chips. That's it's doing its job. We don't want that for you.
That brings up a huge point. I was just eating like a sweet potato and I was like, man, this was a really big sweet potato. I don't know if I could finish it, but I bet if I had like sweet potato chips or something like that that had been deep fried in oil, I would have eaten the whole bag, no problem.
Yeah, which is like the equivalent of 8 potatoes.
Yep, exactly.
Or 5 potatoes, something like that.
However many potatoes is in the bag. But it is not the same as me taking a potato, putting it in the oven, and then still adding a little bit of butter into it, a little bit of salt. But because I was able to control those portions myself, it's going to be better for me overall.
Yeah, and it'll keep you fuller longer as well.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Is there any additional words of wisdom that you want to share with the audience? Anything in relating to the effects of eating in a surplus or a deficit? Anything in general? Anything you want to share?
I would just say do your research. Don't just hop in and listen to your favorite fitness influencer or MyFitnessPal. Do research from professionals that have been accredited, that do know their things, or talk to a coach. There are plenty of people out there who would love to help you and who are knowledgeable. Don't think you have to do this on your own. There are so many resources. So find them, use them, and you will see better results quicker.
Yeah. I mean, I just, one of my newest clients, she's 23, and the reason why she sought me out was, like, I already knew her, but she was like, there's too much information and I don't know what to do. And I was like, well, you've come to the right place because I know what to do and I can help you. So it's like, we're here. This is why we get our certifications, because we want to help you. We don't get it. I mean, we get it for our own benefit as well, but it's to help people like you.
Yeah, we're not trying to gatekeep here. We are trying to give you exactly what you need based on your goals.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Erin, for coming on How To 20-something. Where can people find you if they want to get in contact with you?
Oh, they can find me on Instagram. My handle is @IAM2_Erin, E-R-I-N. And then I do have my website, www.imfitllc.com, that has a contact page there. But if you're in the Charlotte area, come see me at High Fitness. Come take a Metcon class, and I promise I will dance over your dead body.
She will. But as always, that information is going to be linked in the show notes for you guys to access. But wow, this was such a great episode. And I love talking about how to eat and train for the body that you want and how fluctuating between everything will alter the way you show up in the gym and just the way you show up in your life as well, and the way you view your body, your food, your experience, and get you to your goals. So if you liked what you heard, please share it with a friend or on social media and tag me, tag Erin if you do. But otherwise, this concludes another episode of How To 20-something, and I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new one.